Amp Radio.
Welcome to another edition of Amp Radio, brought to you by Lavassi International. Lavassi International is bringing masculine designs to your bathroom. Lavassi is the exclusive retailer of handcrafted ceramic sink, combining a handmade manufacturing process with an industrial finish. If you're looking for something different, check out their tribal design, spike design, or puzzle design, just to name a few. Lavassi International, lavassi.co.uk. Let me spell that for you. LOVASI.co.UK. Now shipping to the United States of America and Canada. Use the code word FANGOS to receive 25% off any purchase. Now back to the show.
Amp Radio.
Ding 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 ding
ding ding ding
ding ding ding
ding ding ding ding ding ding.
Geronimo!
Real good.
Lift the bang, bro.
Did you know me?
Chuck-a-ray. Oh, ah!
Yes, indeed, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another edition of Amp Radio. As always, brought to you by the Amp Radio Network. This one, we're here tonight to smack my picks up. Or as Tony likes to call it, hashtag down to picnic. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. We are here to discuss UFC on Fox, Poirier versus Gaethje, also known as UFC on Fox 29. Of course, this event will be held Saturday, April 14th, 2018 at the Gila? Maybe it's Gila River Arena in Glendale, Arizona. Of course, ladies and gentlemen, you all know that this was supposed to be co-headlined by Carlos Condit fighting Matt Brown, and of course, Matt Brown having to pull out due to a torn ACL. Brown will be replaced by, on short notice, the other cowboy, Alex Oliveira. I am your host, Proteus. I'll be here all night. Of course, I will be joined by DJ Tony, but not on air tonight, ladies and gentlemen. He is back in California on the wheels of steel tonight producing the show, because guess what, ladies and gentlemen, we have a special guest. I'll give you a hint: one half of Proteus's primetime A-team is in the house tonight, but we'll get to that in a bit. We got to bring in the life of the party first, DJ Tony. Let's go ahead and drop her music now. Pam from North Carolina.
Haven't talked to you in for freaking ever, but it's Gila, not Gila, and the Gila, like the Gila monster. I think it's the Arizona National Lizard or the state lizard, some shit like that. But it's a Gila monster, and they're pretty cool. But hey y'all,
it's y'all
and not you all. And then where there's a bunch of us, it's all y'all, cabrón, yeah. Cabrones. Hey, y'all.
Absolutely. I'm starting to roll that R a little bit. Cabrones. I'm hearing too many Spanish words of the day, ladies and gentlemen. I tell you what now. But let's go ahead, guys. I mentioned.
Your wife will appreciate you rolling those R's.
Oh, I get that.
Just saying.
Boom. Cue the music.
Just saying.
That's what I'm talking about.
Practice.
All right.
My mind
has gone wandering. I apologize. My mind has gone all wandering.
Excuse me, bitch.
That's right. So, as I mentioned, ladies and gentlemen, we have a special guest returning, making his triumphant return. You know what, DJ Tony?
I'm excited.
Want to see who it is. Why don't you just go ahead and play that music?
Money.
Showtime, what's happening? Returning, making your triumphant return to Amp Radio. What is happening?
Brother, I'm glad to be here, man. Miss you guys. You know, just glad to be on the show with you guys to talk what we love so much, MMA.
Where are you
Can
today?
I tell you what?
I'm at home. Yeah, I'm at home, so I'm just chilling.
Oh, nice.
Give me a couple beers.
Nice.
I'm the most interesting man in the world, so I'm drinking me a Dos Equis.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, boy. And that, ladies and gentlemen, it is nice to hear the dulcet tones of DJ Showtime from Tennessee once again. Excuse my mistake there. Showtime, really nice to hear your voice again. Good to have you back. We got to move on and bring in the star of the show because we got lots to talk about this evening, ladies and gentlemen. Let's bring him in, deep from the heart of Texas.
Hi.
Mark of a Wiggle, brother.
Come on. Come on.
Marco from Waco, hey, Showtime. Don't let me fly to my private jet and throw a dolly at the window of your truck, man.
Don't do it like that, Marco. Don't do it, baby.
Welcome home. Let's get this ball rolling, man. We got a lot to talk about. Let's do it.
Absolutely. And as anybody who's new with Showtime's voice, if you don't know him from MMA Junkie and calling on that show, you know him from Proteus's Primetime. As I mentioned earlier on in the show, longtime listeners, we appreciate you. Thank you so much. All right, guys, so what we're going to do tonight, as I mentioned, is we're going to go ahead and break down UFC on Fox 29. We're going to touch on one fight that we have coming up in Bellator, 197. Michael Chandler's back in action, so we're going to get back into that. So, what we're going to do on the UFC card is the co-main and the main event with a spotlight fight of the night, ladies and gentlemen. We'll get into Bellator, and if we have time, we'll do a little news and notes. So, Tony, let's get into this card. Cue the music. To the middleweight division we go. Welterweight, yeah?
Flyweight?
To the welterweight division we go. Carlos Condit. 32 years of age, 30-11 is his record against the late replacement, as I mentioned, at the top, Alex Cowboy Oliveira, 30 years old, 17-5-1-2. That's a mouthful and a half. Showtime, since you're making your triumphant return, let's start with you. What you got?
Oh, man. This is going to be a good fight, man. You know, right now, he's a favorite, but damn. You know, I was just listening to Carlos Condit talk, and he was just saying he didn't feel like himself, man, in his last fight. So I can't see him dropping two in a row, but we have to be honest. When the Brazilian cowboy is on, he's tough, man. You know, one thing you know about him, when he comes to fight, he's going to fight hard every fight, man. So, you know, me betting-wise, This is a fight I probably will stay away from as far as me betting myself personally. But if I had to put some money on it, Condit being a +170, I think I would have to ride with Condit. But I'll probably stay away from this one.
Yeah, so Showtime, let's talk about these odds real quick, because on the UFC website, UFC.ca, I've got Carlos Condit at a +165. Which is close to what you said at a +170, and Oliveira at a -190. So let's talk about these odds real quick. You said you're going to stay away from this fight. Is that because it's so close, too close to call, or because you're worried about the natural born killer not showing up?
Yeah, that's basically what I'm worried about. I mean, if you give me the best Condit, to win this fight, but I don't know how hungry he is, man. And then think about this too. He left some of himself in the ring, man, in the octagon with that Robbie Lawler fight. Just think, neither one of those guys have been the same, you know, since those fights, man. So, I mean, I don't know. I mean, you know, with him being a dog, I can take him being a dog. But personally, I won't really bet much on it. I mean, I may throw it in a parlay or something, but it won't be nothing major.
All right, Pammy. as you just heard Showtime say, he's a little worried about the natural born killer. What say you? Are you worried about Carlos Condit because of his last performance? Again, Alex Oliveira is coming in as a late replacement. So are you concerned about Carlos Condit? Because Oliveira is a dangerous striker.
Well, you know, not to brag, but I was in Vegas last time when Carlos fought. And, you know, when he was walking to the ring, he didn't look, you know how normally Carlos looks amazingly cut. He is, I mean, he's so cut, so muscular. And he just didn't look the same. He looked kind of a little bit flabby, and even his movement wasn't the same. But you know, keep in mind that he was gone for, what, about a year? So I think that was ring rust, and I'm just hoping that he got rid of that. Because keep in mind, he's lost 6 of his last 10, and he has lost 3 in a row. But, you know, he's still, you know, great striking, great submissions, you know, still has that endurance, you know, kickboxing, boxing, submissions, wrestling. Lost to Magny, but I think we underestimate Neil Magny too. That Neil Magny has a great, great wrestling game, and it just seems like he's just getting better. And you have Alex Oliveira just coming off that loss, that crazy fight with Yancey. So, I mean, he's coming to fight, but I'm pulling for Carlos and Carlos. I'm going with a third round submission. I hope he shakes that ring rust. And not that I don't like the other cowboy, but I'm hoping to see Carlos come back. So I'm going with the third round submission.
Okay.
Carlos. Oh, my goodness.
Right. Okay. So Carlos, this is Pam.
Yep.
Third round sub.
Sub.
Showtime, did you give us a pick on this one?
Yeah, I think I'm going to go with Carlos as well. But I don't know how this fight's going to end. That's what I'm saying. This fight is so dangerous, man. Hell, Cowboy can come take him out in the first round, you know. But
yep.
I think I'm going to go with Carlos as well. I mean,
under the head.
Carlos by head kick.
What round?
Second round.
Okay. Head kick KO for Showtime from Tennessee. Man, it's good to have you back. One thing quickly before we move on to Marco, give our boys at MMA Junkie a shout out for 11 years doing this thing. We've only been going at it for almost 2 years, inspired by the boys. Let's just give them a shout out, give them their due. Thanks for providing all the content all these years, boys. Thank you very much. So Marco, let's move on to you. I think we're seeing a little nostalgia here. Coming through, and I'll give my pick quickly after Marco. I didn't think about myself, but Marco, what do you got going on here? Do you think Alex Oliveira can get it done on short notice against Carlos Condit, who we don't know if he's really here anymore? You know, is he a shell of himself? What do you got?
Okay, before I do my prediction to my dear friend Showtown Tennessee, this show is called Smack My Picks. We made picks here. We make bold predictions. We put shit out of our asses because we really don't know what we're talking about. But we put our balls to the table and say, this is what we think is going to happen. So there you go. when it comes to Carlos Condit and Brazilian Cowboy, man, look, nobody is what I'm looking for. It's no surprise that Carlos Condit is being, like, so frank and honest with his interviews right now, saying, you know, he hasn't been all out there. He was an 18-month layoff before the Neil Magny fight. He was semi-retired, blah, 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 blah. Third, Cabo Oliveira is a blown-up lightweight. He was a 155er forever. Carlos Condit, at one point in his life, he fought as high as middleweight. Alex Oliveira, on paper, should not be able to beat Carlos Condit because Carlos Condit is an elite fighter. At the end, at the tail end of his career, but he's still an elite fighter. Former WEC champion, former interim welterweight champion, fought the who's who of the freaking division. A little worried about the Robbie Lawler fight, but it's not like Carlos Condit hasn't been on freaking wars before. And actually, the way it's Oliveira fight is tailor-made for Carlos Condit. Because if you want to get on a pro with Carlos Condit, he will piss you off. Ask Rory McDonald. us freaking Nick Diaz, us anybody, us anybody that tried to get into a brawl with Carlos Condit, it usually doesn't end that too well with you. I'm going to ride out with Carlos Condit because I think he's still a superior fighter. He's a more technical fighter. He got more tools on his freaking tool belt to win this fight. But I don't think he's going to finish Oliveira because, if anything, Oliveira has proved that he's as tough as nails. So I'm going to ride out with Carlos Condit in a straight 30-27 decision. But we're going to see chase of old Carlos Condit back. And, you know, let me ride with Carlos Condit on the web for this one.
All right. Like I said, we seem to see a little nostalgia happening here, guys. Not that I disagree with you. Before we move on to my pick, I just want to update everybody on what happened last week with Smack My Picks Up. Guys, I'm just going to call this one a push. Unfortunately, Tony is not available. Tony definitely lost last week because he didn't get anything right. Sorry, Tony. My bad. I'm going to erase the picks from the main event because nobody, you know, because Max fell out, nobody picked that fight. So we just, you know, we'll just erase that and we'll call it a push because we all, Pam, Marco, and myself, all chose Rose. We did not get none of us got the method correctly of the finish. Tony did call a decision, but of course chose JJ. And you know what, man, it was a close fight. That could have been a good pick, but unfortunately did not turn out to be a good pick. So Marco is still the reigning champion. He's going to take his title, carry it over to this particular week, and we'll go from there. So
the reigning, defending, undisputed, is Smack My Picks champion, Marco Fuego.
See, I was hoping to get... I was hoping to get my voice in before Marco started to push, do a promo for himself there. Unfortunately, ladies and gentlemen, I did not get in soon enough. Okay, congratulations to Marco anyway. Proteus is going to take Carlos Condit as well. I don't think that Oliveira coming in here, stepping in on short notice, is going to be as ready or as conditioned as Carlos is. Yes, Oliveira is a very, very dangerous fighter. We've seen that in the past. They're going to have, you know, a little bit of a reach battle here because Oliveira has the reach advantage with his arms. He's got a 76 reach, and Carlos, sorry guys, I'm trying not to burp here, has a 75-inch reach. Of course, Carlos having the advantage in the legs, though, with a 44-inch, and Oliveira coming at us with a 43-inch. So I'm going to take Carlos anyways. I think he's going to be the more conditioned fighter. I think he's going to be more in shape, ready for this fight. I don't know if he's going to be able to get it done. It might go three hard rounds, guys. I'm going to take, as Marco had picked as well, I'm going to take Carlos Condit by decision. I'm going to go with a split decision, though, Marco, because I think Oliveira is going to win at least one round. All right, let's move along, ladies and gentlemen, because we're 20 minutes into the show. Let's move along. Thank you, DJ Tony. To the lightweight division we go. Man, this is going to be a good fight, guys. As our boys on the CME podcast say, this is going to be a crackerjack. Dustin Poirier, number 5, the Diamond. 22-5-0 with one no contest against the only has one defeat on his record, Justin the Highlight Gaethje, 18-1-0, and of course that loss coming in his last fight. Dude, this guy is talented. We saw him. Eddie Alvarez, however, able to take him out in the third round, and poof, man, that was a good fight. So, Pam, let's start with you in the main event of Saturday's action. What you got?
That? Okay.
That's you.
I was like, who is that? That's me. Oh, my gosh, this fight is going to be so much fun, and I wish I could be there in Glendale, but I'm not. I'm here. You know what? This fight, I mean, it's. Do we have to pick a winner? Can we just watch and just not pick a winner?
Marco just told us to Smack My Picks Up, remember? He just gave Showtime a whole rant.
Well,
we do on the show,
this is what I think.
Well, again, Justin Gaethje has no arms or legs, so we don't know what his reach is. Poirier, 7'2 and 40. I'm going to assume that they're pretty close. He's got to be two-inch reach advantage height-wise. Dustin with 10 KOs, Justin with 15 KOs, one sub, seven subs, two decisions. Oh, my gosh. I'm going to make it short and simple. I think it's going to be a slugfest. I think it's going to be crazy. I think it's going to be super violent. Are we not entertained? But I'm going with Justin. I think it's going to go to decision because I kind of question Justin's cardio because he goes in there, balls to the wall, and uses a lot of cardio. So Justin Gaethje decision for me.
Okay. So Pam taking
that's all you
said,
had to say.
I know. You don't know me, though. I got to go into detail.
Yeah, absolutely.
You want to know his? I'll tell you his favorite. You want to know his favorite color? No.
I do.
Pink. No, I don't know what it is.
It's pink.
Duke blue.
Sinner.
Okay. No, it's definitely not Duke blue. All right, Showtime. Let's throw to you here on this one because, as I mentioned, it's going to be a crackerjack. And before I go, move on to you. I'm going to give two odds here because Tony gave me some other odds here, and so I'm going to give you the odds that Tony gave me here. Gaethje at a plus 120, Poirier at a minus 140. On the UFC site, Poirier is a minus 137, Gaethje a plus 177. So, you know, pretty close. Showtime, what you got here? And give us a little thoughts on the odds as well.
Yeah, those sound like five dimes, the odds he was giving. I got plus 120,
okay.
Gaethje minus 140, Poirier. I was really looking at, I watched both fighters, actually watched a couple fights. I think I was listening to Gaethje talk this week, man. I think that loss may have helped him a little bit, and I think it may have shown him that he is human, even though he said he knew he would get beat at some point in time. But I think he'll be better prepared this fight. I can't see him dropping two fights in a row, man. And if you look back at Poirier's fights, he get hurt. He gets hit quite a bit in his fights. And I just think Gaethje going to pull the trigger. And maybe we may see a little bit of his wrestling too. But I think those hard leg kicks, man, I think he's going to take him out. I say he'll finish him in the third round. I like Gaethje as a dog in this fight.
So do you want to take TKO?
Yeah, I say TKO third round.
So Showtime going with also with Gaethje, third round TKO. Pam, as I said, going with Justin Gaethje as well. Decision. Listen, guys, I'm gonna go here, and then we'll throw to Marco for the end of the main event here. I was looking at Dustin Poirier this week. He looks gigantic. I mean, we remember Justin, Dustin fighting at 145, and how, you know, drawn out and gaunt he looked making that weight. I'm concerned about him making this weight. I mean, he just looked gigantic, but I'm sure he'll make it just fine. I'm also concerned, as Showtime is, that Poirier does tend to keep his chin out there and get hurt. And if you get hurt by Justin Gaethje, there ain't no coming back from that. Let's be honest. And, you know, as Showtime had said, the leg kicks are definitely a problem as well. And as also Showtime mentioned, I don't know if he's going to, you know, he's coming off a loss. He's going to be fired up. He's going to be ready to go. It's hard to pick against Gaethje because he's only got that one loss. You know what I mean? He's 18-1-0, and we've seen him take out some dudes and hit them real hard. And I don't know if Dustin can survive an onslaught from a Gaethje. So I'm going to talk myself into taking Justin as well, just because I think he's dangerous, man. And as everybody has said, you know, hopefully we see something good out of him. And Dustin's up and down, you know, up and down, up and down. You never know what you're going to see or whether he's going to be too emotional and get caught into a brawl. And Justin is not the guy you want to do that with. I'm going to take second round KO for Gaethje. Marco, what you got?
I'm really looking forward for this fight, dude. I went back and forth for a while, but then when I let the dust settle, I came to a pretty good conclusion, man. I mean, on the Eddie Alvarez fight, Eddie Alvarez had to throw the kitchen sink, the hot tub, all the plumbing, plus the roof, and Dustin Gaethje.
That's true.
To get him out of there.
And let's not forget, he had to throw an illegal knee at Dustin Poirier to get him out of there.
Ba-dum-boom. Yeah, well, yeah, ba-dum-boom. But Justin Gaethje is not going to start getting just knocked out just because. If anything, he showed that he got a really, really tough chin. I mean, that knee that Eddie Alvarez hit him with could have knocked out anybody on this planet, no matter what your name is. Oddly enough, the title of the fight was stormed, and Gaethje was taking over the fight. So if that knee never happened, he probably would have won the fight. Now, we know that Justin Gaethje got one more, zombie mode. Come forward, pressure, kick, leg kick, leg kick, leg kick, and throw hooks until he gets you out of there. Dustin Poirier has been looking very good lately where he follows the game plan. And that is the key word here, follows the game plan. Because he got, historically speaking, he gets freaking drawn into these freaking brawls. And when he brawls with brawlers, he gets knocked the fuck out. Or he gets shocked the fuck out. Korean Zombie, freaking Michael Johnson, even with Conor McGregor, you know, he got drawn into this, trying to be too aggressive, and boom, he gets knocked. That's not the kind of fight you're going to fight with Justin Gaethje, because if you get drawn into a brawl, we've seen Justin Gaethje can go five good rounds with Palomino in World Series of Fighting. He can hang in there and keep dealing punishment and receiving punishment, and he doesn't mind it. So I think that because of the style of fighting of Gaethje, he's going to be able to draw that brawl out of Dustin Poirier, and that's going to be his undoing, man. I see. I know Chota pick up the third, so I'm going to pick up the fourth round on a TKO. It's going to be dead by 1,000 punches and kicks. Dead by attrition, Dustin Poirier is going to find himself on a point where he's getting punished so much, he's just going to falter another fourth round. We're going to see the TKO by Justin Gaethje.
All right. So it looks like we're all on the same page here. We're all very concerned about Dustin Poirier and whether or not he's going to get drawn into some kind of slobber knocker. Of course, as we've seen, as Marco and everyone else has pointed out, that's, you know, kind of his MO. If he can stay to the game plan, Marco, as you mentioned, I agree with you 100% there. He has been looking good. Okay, guys. Let's throw to everyone's favorite segment of the show, Spotlight Fight of the Night. And Pam, we're going to start with you. Let's go to you. What is your Spotlight Fight of the Night?
Excuse me. My Spotlight Fight of the Night is going to be John Moraga and Wilson Heist. Only because we're fighting in John Moraga's backyard. He is from Maryvale, and they're fighting in Glendale, which is just a few miles apart. I think it's going to be a really, really great fight. It's going to be a lot of action. And I am, I think I'm going to go with Moraga on this one. I don't know how, but do I have to pick how, or is that just my fight?
No, this is just Spotlight Fight of the Night. You just got to tell us what fight you think is going to be.
Okay,
fantastic.
Yeah, that's the one. I think it's going to be awesome because he's fighting with the home crowd behind him, so it should be good for him.
All right. Showtime, you got a Spotlight Fight of the Night.
Yes, I do. I'm going to kind of throw this in a different direction at a fight that I was just sitting here looking at. It's going to be an interesting fight. I'm going to go with Brad Tavares and Christoph Jotko.
That's going to be a very interesting fight, man. Because just think, you got both of these guys just fighting, got a lot on the line. You got Jotko that needs to win bad. Then you got Tavares, he can win. This may throw him, with another win. He may get a chance to, be a contender. Get ranking. So I think that's going to be a darn good fight.
Yeah, that's an excellent call right there because, I've been on the Jotko train, but he's running into Brad Tavares, who is very, very tough. Marco, do you have a Spotlight Fight of the Night for us?
Yes, I do. But first, the Moraga versus Wilson Hayes fight, a fight of two guys that already got the armbar by Demetrius Johnson, oddly enough.
Yep.
Those two guys got armbar by Demetrius Johnson. But my spotlight fight of the night, man, is Israel Adesanya versus freaking Martin Vittori. Two really good prospects, and all the hype is on Israel Adesanya, man. This kid is dynamic. 12-0 on MMA, 12 knockouts. He's flashy, excellent striker, and he talks some mad crap, man. The guy can he doesn't talk trash. He talks dumpsters, man. He talks landfills. I love this kid. I'm really keeping an eye on Israel Adesanya, so this is the fight to keep an eye on.
I'm going to go ahead with my Spotlight Fight of the Night, going in with Diego Lima versus Yushin Akami on the early fight pass prelims. I just like watching Yushin, and he looks really cut up in his photo that they've got on the UFC site right now. So if you got a chance, go ahead and check that out. looking good getting out the bus. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are going to move.
Hey, Grimbeck, is Okami fighting at a middleweight again? Or is he
I believe it's 170 he's fighting at, yeah?
Oh, he's dropping out.
Yeah, 170.
Okay, no problem.
Yeah, his last fight was at 170 against, yeah, that's right. He was fighting, I think he was fighting in, what was it, the PFL now and at 170, and moved up to fight Ovin St. Preux, which of course he lost, and then he's moving back down again to 170. We got that ironed out. Thanks very much. All right. So, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to go ahead and move on to the Bellator 197 main event brought to you by Green Life Vitality.
Are you looking for a new way to stay fit and healthy? At Green Life Vitality, we work with you to customize your fitness plan and your nutrition plan. We also teach you how to prepare meals for your busy life. Visit us online at greenlifevitality.com. Use the code AMPRADIO for your free consultation.
Yes, indeed. Let's move into the main event. Bellator 197, Chandler versus Grits. And just so you guys know, Green Life Vitality, go and check her out. Sarah, cue the music. Bellator 197, Chandler versus Grits will be held Friday, April 13th, 2018 at the Family Arena in St. Charles, Missouri. That's right. Ladies and gentlemen, Brandon Grits versus Michael Chandler. Brandon Grits, 33 years of age, 15-7 against MMA Junkies boy. Michael Chandler, 31, 17-4. Let's start with me. How about that? I'm going to take Michael Chandler here. Michael Chandler has been a mainstay of this Bellator lightweight division. He's Bellator's guy right now, you know what I mean? And Brandon Grits coming up, surgeon, in my opinion. But I don't know if he's fought the caliber of Michael Chandler. We've seen what Michael Chandler can do to people, and I don't know, guys. It's I'm going to go with Chandler. I'm going to take Chandler. I'm going to take him, third round stoppage, probably TKO. So I'm going to go Chandler. So Proteus is going Chandler, third round, TKO. Sorry, guys, I was just writing that down. Got to write it down before I forget it. And just before I throw to Showtime from Tennessee, I'm going to give you the odds. Of course, as Showtime had mentioned, these are from Five Dimes. Chandler is a minus 700. Woo!
Again, wow.
460. Showtime. I mean, we know what the odds makers are thinking about Chandler on this one, right?
Yeah, I think, Chandler's fighting in his, it's basically his home state, and I just think he's too a seasoned veteran, too, grizzled and tough, man. This guy's tough as shit. I really wish this guy was in the UFC, man. I know, but I mean, he just read up Bellator, but I would like to see him fight these UFC fighters, because I really just don't think the best Michael Chandler is going to be hard to beat, and I don't see this kid beating him. I really just don't. So, yeah, minus 700, that's my eyes are the same. So, I'll be with Chandler.
Okay, you got to finish?
Yeah, finish. Or, maybe third. You know what? Chandler by decision. Because, I think this kid is pretty tough. So, Chandler just grind you out. And, he may not stop him. I just said Chandler by decision. But he's going to beat him up bad, though. I mean, he's going to abuse it. But Chandler by decision.
Okay. No problem. So, Pam, I were throwing this one at you. What you got here in this particular fight?
Okay. I know everybody's going, Michael Chandler. I love Michael Chandler, don't get me wrong. But, you guys have to – these guys are very, very similar. Both of them NCAA wrestlers. Gertz has 3 KOs, 8 subs, 4 decisions. Chandler, 7 KOs, 6 subs, 4 decisions. Keep in mind, though, with Gertz, 3 of his last 4 wins have come by first-round TKO, and that includes his last fight was first-round TKO. We go to Chandler, and he had that crazy that doctor stoppage in his fight in June where his ankle went out or whatever. This last fight that he did, he won by decision. He beat Benson by decision.
His last KO was against one of the Patrici brothers in June. And you know what? I'm going to go all the way, and I'm just going to change it up just to make it fun. I'm going to go with Gertz on this.
Fuck
and
yeah.
I am going to take him. I'm going to go, you know what? I'm going to go with the sub, the second round sub.
All right. So, Pam, yeah.
Hey, don't say it like that. You go, all right, you know, because at least I've got the craziness to fucking, you know, I'm not a sheep, man. I'm a wolf.
Oh, that's, you know, we got to get that clip, Tony. We got to get that clip. Add that bitch right into the opening of the show. Absolutely.
There you go.
All right, Marco. So main event of Bellator 197, as I mentioned earlier, Chandler versus Gertz. What you got?
Oh, wait. We're talking about Bellator? Oh, shit.
The UFC Mark.
Yeah, okay. So Mike the Landlord Chandler, because, you know, MMA junkie landlord. Or, I don't know if he's still the landlord or not,
yep.
Or whatever. He was supposed to fight Brad Ramos for, you know, the quote-unquote Bellator title. Ramos get hurt, whatever. You know, Charlie was getting ready for a five-round fight. He only loses to Eddie Alvarez, Ill Will Brooks, and a bum freaking fool against Ramos. You have to be a really, really, really good fighter to get Charlie some sort of freaking problem. Don't know too much about the other guy, Gertz. I mean, for what I think, he all right. But he hasn't made any noise by now at 33. He's not going to make any noise now, you know. Michael Charlotte is probably the cream of the crop that they got there in Bellator. He should win this fight easily. He's going to win it so easily that I'm going to give him a second round TKO. You know, he's going to just maul this other guy and get him out of there quick because he's going to want to make a statement. And, you know, Batman Primos, you know, for getting hurt. And maybe even get a rematch with Benson Henderson because Benson looked good last week. Who knows? So give me Michael Chandler second round to KO.
Check out all the
right,
big
so
brain on Brad.
Let's recap. Proteus went with Chandler, third round TKO. Showtime going with Chandler in a decision. Pam going with Gertz, second round sub. Marco going with Chandler, second round TKO. So, guys, Marco brought up an interesting point here. Before we move on to news, we've got 20 minutes left in the show. Before we move on, like I said, Marco brought up a good point. Like, Chandler, was it Marco or was it Showtime that said they would like to see Chandler in the UFC? Doesn't matter. We're going to talk about that.
That was Showtime.
Now, listen, guys.
Showtime.
Okay, Showtime. Thank you, Marco. Let's talk about that, Showtime, then. Let's throw it to you because – as you mentioned, I don't know what's going on here in Bellator for Chandler. I mean, the champion right now, of course, as we mentioned, Chandler had to drop out of the fight because he hurt himself. Well, he didn't drop out of the fight. He lost the fight because he hurt himself, and they stopped it. But, I mean, what's Chandler got in Bellator left? I mean, he could fight for the title again. He could fight one of the Patrici brothers, the Pitbull brothers. But he's already done that. So, I mean... What is Michael Chandler have in Bellator right now besides getting paid? Showtime.
That's a good question, man. I mean, I was looking at the money he's making. It's okay. I mean,
yeah.
What was it? 50-50? Was that what it was? I mean, I have to take a look at it again. But it wasn't spectacular. So I don't know. I mean, I don't know if he has a rift with the UFC, but it seems like he would be making a lot more money than that.
Yeah, and Marco, we've heard him on MMA Junkie talk about, you know, being loyal and wanting to be loyal to Bellator. They've always taken care of him. But he also did mention that, you know, he's kind of curious about what would happen to himself in the UFC. So what do you think here? Well, I mean, what's going on with him in Bellator? Do you think he has any more challenges there? Or do you think he should try and move on at 31 years old to the UFC?
Well, when it comes to challenges, no, there is not. Because the roster is not deep enough. You know, he's going to recycle fights with Benson Henderson and the Patrici brothers, and that's going to be about it, you know. When it came to his signing with Bellator, I think they upfront him a lot of the money, you know, like a signing bonus. So that is why you see the 50-50, because the bulk of the money they gave him was right up front. And we're talking about probably close to $1 million or more than that that they get him up front. That is why he's so happy there, because they are taking care of him financially, you know, plus they get him all the push for the sponsorship for, what is it, the restaurant, David Busters and all that other crap, you know. They put him on all the stuff to push his brand. But it's a shame because, you know, he's getting past his prime, and we're never going to know how good he could have been, you know. By the time he's done with this freaking Bellator deal, he's going to be closer to his mid-30s than to his early 30s. And by that time, you know, lightweights are not the same anymore, man. They start falling down. So any dreams of Charlo going into the freaking UFC, you want to just put it on the back burner because it's not going to happen. And it's a shame because he should have been. That's what you're going to do.
Right. Yeah, Marco, you make a good point because Bellator did give him some money up front and, you know, like you said, $1 million probably. And I don't know if we're going to know the truth 100%, but DJ Tony is telling me that Chandler is getting paid a flat $50,000 show purse per fight. So, Pam, let's throw to you real quick on this particular subject. You know, I mean, we see Chandler, we see him as the face of Bellator. We see him, as Marco mentioned, the David Busters, all the signs. What you got here? What do you think about this? Should he be moving to the UFC? Should he be staying in Bellator? What do you got?
No, I think he actually just needs to kind of stay where he is, because right now he is a big fish in a little pond. And I think if he decides to make the move to UFC, he's going to be the little fish in a big pond. So, you know, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. I think he needs to stay just right where he is and keep fighting the Patricki brothers.
Just keep lining them up, right, Pam? Just keep lining them up.
Yep.
Of course, Chandler
he's in his 30s. Who knows how long is his contract for Bellator? A couple years, maybe? So say say 2 years. He's got a 2-year contract left. Maybe fights twice a year, you know, four fights.
Amount of fights. He signed a 10-fight deal with Bellator.
Part
of the 10-fight deal. Yeah.
Okay. So no. By the time he's done, no. He needs to just stay where he is and keep his face pretty.
Indeed. Okay. I'm kind of worried about what he would do in the UFC as well. But okay, guys, we've got 15 minutes left in the show. I want to go into some news and notes, but is Showtime's triumphant return, I want you to pick a subject for us. You go ahead and pick the first topic that we talk about Showtime, throw it out there, and then give us your opinion on that topic. Shoot.
Oh, man, how could we not come back and we haven't talked about Conor McGregor yet, man?
Oh, my God. No, not that
Conor
subject.
Conor McGregor's name.
Come
on.
I can go a day without him. No, we don't.
But this, I just want to make this comment on it. Think about when Conor, when this first happened, of what Dana White was saying. Think about how when Dana went to his big house and, got in his big bed and thought about it, and how everything changed once he woke up the next morning, about how we gonna get Conor out of this shit, how we gonna work this out, make it okay. That's the cash cow. You can't let Conor, you wouldn't cut him, for one, because he would, think about what Bellator, what all these other people would give. They wouldn't be able to afford him, because Conor can fight me or Marco from Waco and get 1 million views. So he doesn't even need, he probably was hoping that he would get cut.
He could get 2 million views.
Now think this out. Him and Floyd link up and throw some kind of crazy. It's too many options, man. So they'll make it right. We'll think about this in a couple months, and they'll make it go away. Conor probably paid the fighters or whoever didn't fight or got hurt, got cut. They'll find a way to work that out, and they're going to push this under the rug, man.
Before you weigh in, Marco, I'm going to throw to you. We talked about this, on This Week in MMA post UFC 223. We talked about it, on Thursday's hashtag down with the sickness or down with the pickness. We kind of talked about Conor McGregor and his craziness, but Marco, as Showtime has mentioned, Dana kind of softened his view on what happened. And I don't know, man, you go from calling it despicable and, the worst thing that's ever happened in UFC to, maybe it's not that bad. What do you got?
You know what happened? What happened is the amount of press and views and awareness and mainstream media that saw this freaking incident, and it started to become the other side. Because guess what? As it stands today, Conor versus Nate Diaz 3 is not as important as probably Conor versus Khabib Nurmagomedov. Because if they made the Khabib versus Conor fight in November in Madison Square Garden, all this footage is going to come right back out. And yeah. Everybody and their mother is going to want to see this. Because you got the Irish contingent, and you got the Dagestani Russian contingent, and these two rabid freaking fan bases are going to clash with their two like heroes, you know, Conor on the Irish side and Khabib on the Russian side. So what the UFC is actually saying is they're predicting to the future. I mean, and we would be stupid not to realize what the reality is.
Yeah.
And this controversy is going to sell. And will probably become the biggest selling pay-per-view in history for the actual yeah. lightweight title against Conor and Khabib. They got real heat. The two guys do not like each other. The two guys have been clashing over and over and over again. And whether this was, you know, a stunt publicity that went awfully bad, or this is real
yeah.
heat, the fact of the matter is that people got hurt, losses are going to be thrown out, you got the footage, and it's going to be put on a freaking loop if they freaking made this freaking fight. So,
yeah,
when Dana slept on it, realized, oh, we're going to make millions and millions and millions of dollars out of this, so let's come the waters and let's things settle down, and once things settle down, let's make the fight happen. And you know who's pissed off about it? Nate Diaz.
Yeah, absolutely, for sure he's pissed off about it. But, guys, we have to remember that, you know, Conor McGregor might be a convicted felon, you know, when he has his trial in New York. I don't think this fight can even happen on U.S. soil, guys. I mean, with all the footage, Pam, and I'm going to throw to you because I know you don't really mm-hmm. want to talk about this, but I'm going to throw to you next. You know, with all the footage that we saw, and we know it was Conor McGregor. I mean, there's a meme of, you know, Conor McGregor and the ugly face as he's throwing the dolly through the window. And as Marco had mentioned, there's going to be tons of lawsuits. I mentioned this on This Week in MMA on Monday when we recorded. I just don't think this fight's going to happen. It's definitely the biggest fight they can make in that division right now. It's going to make the most money, but I don't think they can throw it on U.S. soil. Pam?
Well, you know, you go back to that old saying, and evidently he doesn't know about it, but this is the old saying that says, you know, don't shit where you eat, you know? And I know that Dana has his head so far up Connor's ass, he probably can't think straight. But, you know, when does it end? You know, when does it end? Okay, we had the incident in the Bellator where you slapped Mark Goddard. And, oh, I'm going to punish you by taking you off the card that you were never on in the first place. And nothing happened with that. And he keeps, like, doing all this crazy shit that, oh, we're going to punish him. And nothing happened. So when does it end? Or how far does it go? How far does it go?
Can you let Pam speak for a minute, Marco?
Okay.
You know, and it's just, I mean, this is a grown man that is basically the face of UFC. And, you know, if you think about it, there are a lot of people that think that UFC or MMA is not even a true sport because they think they're a bunch of savages. Well, there you go. I wonder why they think that, you know? So, you know, again,
Marco,
how far do they let it go?
The reality of this is, Floyd Mayweather went to jail for domestic abuse, came back and made $300 million. Mike Tyson went to jail for freaking sexual assault and rape, came back and made hundreds of millions of dollars. And it is not fair. It's not fair, and we know it's not fair. You know, Conor probably won't go to jail because it's first offense, and he's going to get a good lawyer, and they're going to plea bargain all these to misdemeanors. And his whole business won't get affected too much because Luke Thomas make a good explanation from a lawyer that when it comes to war visas, they're a little bit more lenient than when it comes to immigration visas. Bottom line is Conor McGregor is a moneymaker. And we're not talking about thousands of dollars. We're talking about tens of millions and hundreds of millions of dollars. So it's not going to end anytime soon. The guy is going to have to literally kill somebody for it to end. I don't think it's going to get
well,
that
okay.
far. I don't like the path this is going with Conor McGregor. I don't like his behavior. I'm not condoning it. Believe me, I was pretty upset last week when I saw it happen. But the reality is that when you got $150 million on the bank, like Conor McGregor got right now, you can afford pretty good lawyers, and not too much is going to happen to you, because the justice system is not a fair system anywhere in the planet, man. When you got money, you can get away with a lot of shit.
Okay, but here's my other thing is, well, you've got a promoter that's supposed to be in charge of your fighters, and you're supposed to be taking care of your fighters. So when you side with the fighter that's causing chaos to the other fighters, then what is, you know, you're going to see evidently, or in time, you're going to see a rebellion, because you're going to say, you know, this guy is supposed to be taking care of us, and he's taking care of the guy that's, you know, fucking with us. So, you know, like I said, when is it going to end, or what's going to be the end product of this?
Yeah, when Conor is told me in the UFC $50 million a pay-per-view or $100 million a pay-per-view, that is when it's going to happen.
All right, guys, we have to move on here. Showtime, I want to give you the last word, though, because we heard on the MMA Fortnite on Monday that the plan was to have Conor McGregor kind of show up at the weigh-ins, or whatever event it was. It's so hard to keep track because there was so much news that came out last week. So the plan was to have him show up, I guess. But I guess, you know, Conor McGregor decided to take it too far. So let's get the closing comments from you, Showtime, on this one. I mean, is Conor McGregor, you know, having some kind of substance abuse problem, or as we have said, is the UFC got a Conor McGregor problem?
Man, as much as we love Conor, love him, he's a showman. Conor is an idiot too. Now Conor is stupid. So Conor probably was drunk. I mean, you know, he was drinking. He just came over. He was drinking his whiskey. But I think he took it a little bit too far. And by throwing, if he just would have ran out and hit the bus and did all the other stuff and didn't throw the dolly, it would have been okay. That dolly took it over the line. But this the thing about it: money talks, and beef. Bullshit can run a marathon. If Conor pays the fighters and makes the lawsuits go away, Conor makes too much money, and he'll be able to fight again. And if they won't do it in New York, they'll do it in Las Vegas, because money rules Las Vegas. So he'll be okay. This was a bad look. You know, he'll pay the fighters and smooth it out, maybe talk to them. And at the end of the day, we'll be talking about something else. We'll be talking about him and Khabib, or him and somebody. But you're right, Nate Diaz.
Yeah, I mean,
waiting around. He missed the boat.
Well, I mean, I don't think anybody would have foreseen this kind of stuff happening. And as you guys have mentioned with Floyd Mayweather, let's remember that, you know, Nevada let him fight. He was charged of this, you know, assault. They let him fight, and then he went to jail. So anything is possible, as we know, guys. Okay, we're running out of time.
Yeah, real quick. It's not like we don't know that Conor likes to throw shit. Remember the '80s? Nate Diaz is with the
exactly,
water bottle, the monster cans. And so, don't let Conor grab shit, because he'll throw it at you, man.
Exactly, Mike. Keep it simple. All right, let's move on real quickly, because there's a rumor that has come out, and I want to get you guys to weigh in on this. The rumor has come out that the UFC's new TV contract is going to be split between ESPN and, I believe, is it NBC? I don't have it up in front of me, but I believe it's NBC. Dana White has come out and said this is completely untrue.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, as we know, we don't trust anything that Dana White says. And listen, let me preface this particular subject. When I read this article last night, I said to my wife, this is untrue. This is fake news. This is not true at all, because I hadn't seen Ariel Helwani mention it at all. I haven't seen John Morgan mention it at all. And I will not take it into consideration until the top journalists mention that. But I wanted to go ahead and mention that Danny Austin, myself, and who was it? Damn it.
Your daddy?
Anyways, we had a conversation about it, and they said, you know, there's no way that it's going to ESPN. Damn it, Jesus. We can't confirm that whether or not it's true or not, but I just wanted to say that I was seeing that this was going to ESPN. I thought this is the best course of action for them. Markle, you want to weigh on this real quick?
Yeah. First of all, Jay, you're absolutely right. If I don't grab Ariel Helwani, John Morgan, or Brett Okamoto from ESPN, by the way, confirming this news, this is fake news to me. But I don't care about the realm of possibility that they are floating this rumor around the ESPN and NBC are on the conversation and close to closing a deal to bring back Fox with a counter offer, you know, because for all intents and purposes, say Fox wants to go with the WWE and whatever, but content-wise, the UFC is 33% or one-third of all the programming that FS1 and FS2 get. So they're probably trying to bring Fox back into the table with a counter offer to drive up the price. Now, if any of this is true, that I highly doubt it because it came from a website that got no credibility whatsoever, I wouldn't be too mad with a split of ESPN and NBC, man. Two different platforms showing the USC is not a bad thing, man, especially if ESPN is on the fall because, you know, the rich ESPN gap on the sport bubble is way, way bigger than Fox got. But I am on a wait-and-see approach right now. I don't trust this report. I think they're just floating this rumor around intentionally or unintentionally, more intentionally, that to drive Fox back into the table with a counter offer to make them, you know, say that hey, there is other people that might take this thing away from us and they might not want to, you know, lose the UFC as it is.
Yeah, sorry. Let me recap here. It was James Lynch and Danny Austin that I was having this conversation with. I don't know why James's name was eluding me. I apologize to James Lynch. Showtime, you want to comment real quick?
Yeah, I think as well. I think somebody floated this out. You know how it is when you got big deals on the table. It's almost like you wanted to make your girlfriend jealous or your ex-girlfriend jealous. So I agree with what Marco said, man. The UFC, just with their content and their shows, man, they take up a lot of space and airtime at Fox. So Fox would really have to redo a whole lot of stuff, man, if they lose the UFC. But I would like to see them on ESPN. I would agree. You know, that's the biggest network. But we'll see, man. I like you said, I want to hear Ariel Helwani and hear all of them start talking about it, and then I'll, you know.
Yeah.
I may think that but there's probably some truth in it, though. We just don't know how much is true.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I said at the top. I mean, I just wanted to bring this up because it's interesting. And if it's being leaked, Pam, that's kind of interesting news because I did call it.
Yeah.
And apparently, allegedly, if we were to hear what's going on here, the WWE is apparently in talks with Fox. So, maybe it's, you know, kind of the Fox knows what's going to be happening here and the foreshadowing is on the table. But
I
Pam, go ahead and give us your comment.
I was going to say, I think it's going to be interesting too, because like, say for example, me, I have cable and I have like probably like one of the expensive packages because it has FS1 and FS2.
Yeah.
But the only reason I have that is to watch fight stuff. Other than that, I watch FS1 on, you know, Fox and my murder show. So if that happens, man, I'm getting rid of my cable and I'm getting something else because that would be, you know, that would be exciting. But at the same time, look at the, you know, they need to figure out what they're doing because they're going to lose a lot of money, I think, because I was kind of catching up on it. So many people were like, fuck, you know, as soon as that happens, I'm getting rid of my cable. I'm ditching cable. I'm ditching cable. You know, talking about FS1, the only reason they have FS1 is to watch UFC stuff. And the only way you get FS1 is if you get, like, one of the premium packages, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
So if that were to happen, bye-bye cable.
Let's not think of the Fox deal and WWE is a done deal because USA, where the WWE is right now, is also trying to do a counteroffer because they want to keep the WWE at the USA Network. And there is rumors that TNT is getting into the bidding for WWE. So Fox cannot put all their eggs on the WWE basket because if they don't even get that, and then the USC walk, they're left with nothing. And then FS1 and FS2 just become NBC Sports or CBS Sports.
Yeah, I mean, guys, this is going to be a very, very interesting subject. I mean, we've been talking about this on Amp Radio for, like I said, almost a year now. When I said back in the day when we were talking about this rescheduling or this renegotiation coming up, and as I say, with Danny Austin and James Lynch, we were talking about it a year ago. So this is going to be one topic that we need to keep an eye on. I wanted to talk quickly, and I know we have to end the show, but I wanted to talk about the New York State Athletic Commission being a story coming out of USC 223. Showtime, let's throw to you real quick. Just give us the Coles notes on what you thought about what happened with that commission, the NYSAC,
oh my God,
last week.
Man, you know what? This commission finds a way to be forefront,
yep,
and center every time. I was wondering, I heard, you know, Max was having a good weight cut. And then all of a sudden, you know, he's not fit to fight, but I heard the weight cut was going okay. So I don't know. You know what? I think this is it's new. I think, you know, the more that they probably deal with MMA, they'll get better at it. And, you know, just from some of the scores of the judges of the fights, which that can happen anywhere. But this commission always finds a way to be front and center, you know, when they have a big card there with something they do.
Yeah,
well,
do you think that they need to,
from this experience and a couple of more experiences, do you think that they need to plan out scenarios like, okay, because I think what happens is that they plan out this great card, not thinking nothing's going to end, and not thinking,
right,
well, what if something bad happens? But don't you think that they need to start, okay, what if this should happen? Then we need to have plan B. And if plan B falls through, okay, we need to have a plan C. And if plan C falls through like it did, we need to have a plan D. And I think they're just having like a plan A and maybe plan B. But I think this experience should teach them, okay, we need to have backup plans here. And we need to have fighters that are ready to go. And that goes back to what we had been talking about, you know, a couple of shows before, or having too many fight cards in one week where you've got all, you know, everybody spread out all over the place and there's nobody to pull from.
Yeah, Pam, and I was going to throw to you with this, because we had talked about, you know, we had talked about this particular commission on text message, or sorry, on Twitter, on the DMs. And when Holloway had been dropped out, we talked about it. I said this commission is a little inexperienced, and you said you agreed. I mean, that's just what they're showing right now. They're showing that they're inexperienced and they don't really know what's going on. So, Marco, I'm going to throw it to you real quickly here because I wanted to get your opinion on what happened with Paul Felder. Now, I heard John Anik on the local AM radio with on the sports news. He was on the show, and he was, you know, giving us his opinion. But of course, we have to remember that John Anik is a UFC employee. Now, they decided that Paul Felder could not fight in a championship fight because he was not ranked. He's not even in the top 15, according to the UFC's rankings. And I'm going to preface this with saying, we all know that they're a joke. However, we know that the UFC rankings are a joke. However, most commissions, even in boxing, will go with the rankings. If we're going to have rankings, we're going to have to use them. And I thought the New York State Athletic Commission was right in this opinion to not have Felder fight, no matter how tough Felder is. And maybe he will get a title shot at some point, but he's not ranked in that top 15 right now.
Okay. I'm going to the Five Round podcast with Brett Akamoto, because you're talking depth about the New York Senate Commission is getting a bad rap on this whole situation. Yeah, we know that in the past they have blundered a lot of stuff. They have made decisions that were kind of questionable. But on this one, they're kind of getting a bad rap. And this is according to Brett Okamoto, mind you. When it came to Paul Felder, they never stated that he was not going to fight because he wasn't ranked. They never even presented the Athletic Commission with a bout agreement or a bout. So for the Athletic Commission, it was never presented as an option. It was talked about that it might happen. And the rumor of the fighter being on rank came from one of the camps. It didn't come from the Athletic Commission. When it came to Max Holloway, they monitored Max Holloway with doctors all the way until the day prior to his weigh-in. The morning of the weigh-in, one commissioner came, you know, they were doing all the electrolyte tests and all the stuff that you're supposed to do when you're checking fighters' weight. The morning of the weigh-in, the doctor didn't call. A commissioner came, and they asked Max if he was weighing at the time 159, and this was like a couple of hours prior to the time that he's supposed to be weighing in, and that is what they call it off, because they didn't think he was going to be able to drop 4 pounds in 2 hours. That was the freaking issue. And if you're erring on the side of safety for the fighters, and we're always saying, you know, err on the side of safety for the fighters all the time, I see they made the right choice. You know, Max, everybody knew that Max was going to have a hard cut. Even George Lockhart said he was going to have a hard cut. Max Holloway admitted himself when they got the one that he was going to have a hard cut.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, the commission did probably what it was right at the time, you know, and you know, not make Max got that extra 4 pound in 2 hours that was going to be detrimental to his health. So they're getting a bad rap. Yeah. I'm not defending them, because when they're wrong, they're wrong, and they've been wrong plenty. But on this one, I'm going to try to give them a pass, because according to the reports, after the fact, after all the freaking dust has settled and all the claustrophobic stuff that happened, like this happened, New York State Day Commission was looking out for the health of the fighters. And when it came to Paul Felder, they actually didn't make a decision, because they were not given an option to make a decision. They just pushed the guy that they presented to them. And at the time, it was freaking Anthony Pettis and then Iaquinta. So there you go.
Yeah, Marco, I don't know if we're ever really going to know the truth, because of how, you know, everything's set up in this particular sport. You never know who's telling the truth. Okay, guys, we're over time, so I'm not going to go into Twitter follows or anything like that. I am going to ask Showtime from Tennessee real quickly. Is there anything that you're tuned into that you want to share with us before we get out of here? What you got?
I'll be back next Thursday if you guys will have me back. That's what I want to share.
Well, of course. We don't have a problem with you being on this show. Like I said, we love the sultry tunes of Showtime from Tennessee.
I could dig it.
Next weekend, it's on.
All right.
Hey, well, you know what? He might have to take my spot, because I'll be coming back from Vegas that day. But I think I should be in about 3 o'clock, so... So I'm going to go say hi to the junkie, guys.
That's right. And you're going to be on edibles anyways, coming back from that flight. So maybe we just have Showtime in anyways. I'm just kidding.
Yeah, no, I think I should be in town probably by 3 o'clock Thursday afternoon. So.
All right, Pam, why don't you go ahead and give us your sign off, and then we'll throw to Marco to close the show.
Alrighty, thanks everyone for listening, and we'll see you next week. I'm going to stop by and say hi to the guys at the Junkie Stadium or studio, and I'll see y'all next Thursday. And like that.
All right. Hang on. Not yet. And as I said, let's congratulate Junkie Radio again for 11 strong years, ladies and gentlemen. They've been going strong, different iterations. Jenny used to be on the show answering the phones. Now we've, you know, we're progressing. We're evolving in the Junkie Nation. Marco, close the show.
Okay, so before I close the show, Ronda Rousey kicked ass from WrestleMania. Congratulations. Nice.
Who cares?
Wrestling career.
Fake news.
John.
Happy birthday, Junkie Nation. 11 years. And I've been part of it for 5.5. So happy about that. Solo. Producer of Claudius, Solo, Fan, and Pandora Box. Showtime, I don't get your Twitter tag.
Ramundo. At Ramundo.
At Ramundo. Follow me, Amaldo Marco. Follow the show at Another MMA Cast. Rate and review us, Knucklehead. We need the reviews. We need the 5 stars. We need you to put us in the algorithm so people find out about this little show that talks about MMA a few times a week, and let you know, guys, how a few, you know, hardcore fans feel about the sport. And with that, leave you guys. Catch you guys next week. Enjoy the fight.
Thank you all for listening. We appreciate every single one of you. And Pam, just like that.
Yep. We're out.
We out.
Hey, I'm not surprised, motherfuckers.
Thank you, Showtime. Geronimo.